Welcome back to Sports Byline, of course, coast to coast, border to border, around the world on the American Forces Radio Network, 177 countries, and I'll bet there's not one of those countries that does not know who my next guest is. Very happy to have him in studio. It's David Alan Greer. He is in the Bay. He's at the San Jose Improv tonight through Sunday.
Yes.
And David, first of all, great to have you in. And where is maybe one place in the world where you're like, damn, they know me here?
Mexico. I'm big in Mexico. I say that just because, all right, I was with this girl. We were in New York City. And I said, you know, I'm really big in Mexico. She's like, shut up. We knows you in Mexico. As if on cue, we go around the corner. There's this Hispanic waiter or busboy who comes to dump the trash. He drops the trash can and goes, ay, Dios mío. Tú eres mi grande estrella en mi país.
Wow.
And I told you I was big in Mexico. But here's the rationale. I think like all the bad movies I've done, you know, the reruns of Martin and Living Color, mm-hmm. they get them in rerun real cheap.
Right.
So they just run them forever in Mexico. So I think that's why I'm big in Mexico.
You know what's funny about that is that I go to England now and then as I write for the soccer newspaper. And one of the shows that's so huge over there, and I'm not going to say it wasn't big here, but it wasn't the hit that it is in England, is My Wife and Kids.
Wow.
And they're always like, you know, do you know the Wayans? You know, David Allen Griz?
The Wayans.
Yeah, he's all right. And as far as I had, Sean Wayans was in here a little while ago, and I told him about that, and he knew about that. He's like, oh, yeah, that's huge. It's just so funny how, like, that show is just, like, it plays in prime time on BBC One. It's just, that's where they know you all over the place.
Well, Benny Hill, you know, Benny Hill, again, there was like, I wasn't like a big Benny Hill fan, mm-hmm. but, you know, whatever. But I know it was on all day and night mm-hmm. in the States. When he died, that was like front page news. In England, they didn't care about Benny Hill. They're like, you know, who cares about Benny Hill?
I know you say, remember the little bald guy and he'd slap him on the head and that iconic music, that whatever the original. At this point, that is the Benny Hill music. I don't know what that was originally called.
I saw him. He was in the movie The Italian Job, the original version with Michael Caine.
Wow, I didn't know.
He was like the silent, perverted, mad genius. That's who he was.
So that was kind of his range anyway, right?
Yeah, he was. That's what he played on his show, man. It wasn't subtle, but I know Biz Markie loved Benny Hill.
Oh.
He's amazing. He's a genius, yo.
You know what's funny is the Oakland A's had this celebrity root beer float day, and I work on a broadcast. So I was there, and I see Biz. He was in town this year. And, you know, I'm 49, 80s rap, love all that stuff. So I went over, and I rarely do this, but I'm like, hey, Biz, can I get a selfie real quick? He's like, yeah. And I did it, and I realized, because people tell me I got a big head, I got a little head next to Biz. He's got the biggest head I've ever seen on it.
But he's also an encyclopedic musical knowledge. He told me one time, I think he owned a block in New Jersey. Like, this is when the real estate was depressed. Mm-hmm. He bought these brownstones. He had a brownstone. I don't know if he still has it, full of nothing but records. That's where he housed his record collection. I'm like, how did you get such a huge record collection? He goes, your old ladies will ask me, you know, can you clean out my joint, whatever? Boom, records mine, bam, in my house. So he had floor to ceiling. He was the old DJ, the old head back in the day when DJs had to go and find their.
You actually were scratching records. Something.
Yeah, and you would hide your records, right? You'd hide the LP because mm-hmm. you didn't want the other dudes to know your breaks. And he said Michael Jackson wanted to buy his collection. I'm not selling. Elton John. Nope. Because Elton John was a big record collector from way back, man.
Wow.
And so he has an encyclopedic mind. I talked to a guy who had, I used to collect records, but not so much anymore. He said Biz Markie would come in, and that was a day. He'd go through the stacks. He'd go in the basement, just go album by album by album by album by
album. Did he have them categorized?
Yeah, he was just into it. Like, he would go to this guy's shop and just spend hours there, spend hours going through, you know.
I got her. I got the Barbra Streisand live. Not Central Park, but.
Okay, all right. Okay, I got it, Biz. Yeah.
Rick Tittle with David Alan Greer. He's at the San Jose Improv. And it's funny because I tell some of the, I don't feel like an old man here, but I tell
some
of our,
old.
I guess so, because I tell some of our interns that what we used to do is we'd take an album, we'd put it on, we'd sit in a beanbag chair, and then we would just look at the album cover.
Stop right there. That is old man talk. Don't you see yourself? I don't consider myself old. Hey, but kid, these kids these days, we had our 8-track extended play recordings. Come on, man, that's old beanbag.
Didn't you hate it when the 8-track song would like fade out
yes.
and it would come back up again yes. in the next track? You're like, wait a minute, what's going on?
Well, man? my friend who lived around the corner from me, his dad had a commercial 8-track recording system he set up in their basement. So it took bigger 8-track cartridges. And by the way, the 8-track cartridge was the size of like 2 or 3 DVDs scotch taped together. Yeah, and we heard Jimi Hendrix, Electric Ladyland on 8-tracks. So we'd be like, Voodoo Child! Voodoo Child! Lord knows I'm a voodoo child.
You had to wait. It was like a click sound.
Well, yeah, it faded out in the middle, always at the best part. Then it faded back in, and you lost some time. Oh. It was crazy.
You know what it is? Like, if you get, like, Whitney Houston, like, right at that pause and come back up, and,
yes,
you know,
yes.
if it would be timed a little bit
yeah.
better.
No, they didn't care. Just, no. Needless to say, that format did not take hold.
I had it in my car.
Yeah, I know, but it did. We do. You don't have
that's
it
all,
now.
I know, but that's when cassettes came out. We were like, oh, yeah, it's a new world now.
Cassettes were dynamite, man. I used my first girlfriends, you know, we do like, did you get my cassette? Yeah, I did, baby. And, you know, you put all your tunes in there together, you know, like you. I want you right now to get all up inside of you. You're like, did you get my message? I don't know what I'm trying to. I think I did. Yeah, that kind of
stuff. You would make the little mixtape, and I was very particular to press pause just at the right time. And my friends who did it bad, I'm like, nah, I could start to hear the next track, man. You got to pull the LP back a half turn, get it up to full speed.
Yes, I just, and the your tape always got eaten. That was the scariest sound with cassettes when it was like, you know, I don't know. What was a good, like you're listening to Steely Dan. Oh, that sound where you knew it was getting eaten. Oh,
I remember when I was 18 and I was in Germany and this guy was playing this album I never heard before. I'm like, dude, can you lay that down on a cassette?
That's hip talk. Yeah, lay that down on a cassette, my man. I got 2 120s in my car. They're TDK.
That's right. They were T120s. It was BASF because it was German. But I got it back, and my friends were like, who is this? Like, I don't know who it was. And then one day in the car, it's like, and it started coming out. I tried to you know, do this, like, crude splicing,
yes.
and I used scotch tape.
Oh, many times.
Yeah.
Many times.
And
yeah.
I saved it, but it was much higher after that.
Oh, yeah.
It just went a little bit higher like that, and I'm like, it was unlistenable at that point.
Well, tons of cassettes. I have tons. We would just record. Because back in the day, when there really was alternative radio, that was, you know, I had this system that my mom bought me for my birthday. So it was like double cassette recorder, you know, high fidelity FM, and it had like the turntable. But you could just record the radio broadcast because they were playing all the music I wanted. So that was a cheapy, choppy way. And then you tried to edit, you know, meaning press stop, which to press record was the hardest button. Every button you went, clink, stop. Clink, pause, record.
Record.
You needed the strength of giants.
You had to lean into it.
And it never engaged when you wanted it to. Or you had to press record and play simultaneously.
Exactly. Yes, my dad said, I press record, nothing happened. I'm like, Dad, what are you so dumb? You have to press play. Well, why would I press play as well? You have to get the motor going. All right, we have a lot more to talk about. We're going to take a quick break right here. David Alan Greer, as we go down memory lane here, he's at the San Jose Improv. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on Sports Byline.
I'm June Ambrose, celebrity fashion stylist and designer, inviting you to celebrate Black History Month with me as Macy salutes the impact of African American style. Join me and fellow fashion designer Janetta Boone at Macy's as we discuss the styles, accessories, and attitude of the Soul Era and its influences on today's catwalks and red carpets. Be here for fabulous fashion shows and special receptions with me and Janetta. For more info, visit Macy's.com/celebrate.
Musicians, right now during Guitar Center's President's Day sale, save up to 60% off the best selection of guitars, drums, keyboards, DJ, and more. Deals like a Mitchell acoustic guitar, now just $99. Three pairs of Vic Firth X5A drumsticks for just $12. Or a Harbinger 4-channel PA for just $169. Plus, grab your copy of The List, featuring hundreds of deals so good we can't advertise them. Or create a deal with a cash-saving coupon from GuitarCenter.com. Don't miss the savings this President's Day weekend at Guitar Center.
Not all barbecues are the same. Not all guitar licks are the same. Not all motor oils are the same either. Valvoline Full Synthetic High Mileage with Max Life technology actually is different. It's the superior protection of synthetic for cars over 75,000 miles. But don't just believe us. See for yourself at seeadifference.com. Valvoline, 140 years under the hood. Visit AutoZone now and buy 5 quarts of Valvoline and an oil filter starting at $22.99. See store for restrictions and details.
This time of the year, we spend so much time inside that we become a lot more aware of what's going on in our houses. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about what to do if one of those things is a lingering odor right after this.
Now there's an easier way to clean your shower without all the fuss. Wet and Forget Weekly Shower Spray. Just spray your shower once a week to clean and prevent the buildup of soap scum, grime, oils, mold, and mildew stains. It's that simple. There's no wiping or scrubbing. Wet and Forget Weekly Shower Spray's gentle, bleach-free formula leaves your bathroom with a soft vanilla essence. Pick up a bottle of Wet and Forget Weekly Shower Spray at participating Ace Hardware and Do It Best retailers, or visit wetandforget.com for a store near you.
Does the inside of your home have an odor that just won't go away no matter what you do? If you've cleaned and vacuumed but you just can't get rid of the smell, here are a few ideas on how you can correct it. Clean all of your drapes and blinds because they're notorious for harboring smells. Clean the walls. In fact, you may even have to repaint them because latex paint is very porous and can absorb odors. If you've painted and the odor still persists, look into having your home thermofogged. This process uses thermofog deodorizing smoke to penetrate through latex paint, cabinets, and even your heating and cooling system to permanently eliminate odors from all kinds of sources, including food, tobacco, mold, and mildew. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner.
Welcome back to the show, coast to coast, border to border, around the world, American Forces Radio Network. As always, saying hello to the troops out there, that are the ones that keep us safe. Very happy that David Alan Greer can stick around in studio for another segment. He's at the San Jose Improv. He's there tonight, also on Valentine's Day and Sunday. And David, that's interesting. What do you do? What do you do for the Valentine's Day show?
Well, I come out nude, first of all, strictly for the ladies. They like the middle-aged black man body. And it's called The Love Show. I really do. Take questions, mostly. No jokes. I just sit on a stool.
No, I mean, I talk about relationships. I don't know how sexy it is because I talk about real stuff, but I kind of suck the sexy out of the room.
I wanted to ask you this, too, because, I mean, you are a I want to say, classically trained actor, Yale Drama School, Broadway.
Can we stop for a minute?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a real compliment when you say, I want to say. Let's put that in another context.
I want to say you're intelligent.
That's not, you know what I mean? That's like something's preventing me from saying.
Let me finish because
okay,
I think I'm more impressed with the comedic style because to me, it's not that being a classically trained actor is easy, but I think
getting you're digging,
comedic.
You're digging.
No, I'm not. Comedic timing to me can't be taught. And so you were trained and then you found out that you could do the comedy.
Are you in a relationship right now? Because tomorrow's going to be a difficult day for you. You're going to come in the house and go,
I know my friends say you're beautiful. I want to focus on aspects that I'm told are attractive, not the intelligence that's on there. That's what I see. I want to focus on the earlobe area of your body, purportedly, that I've been told you possess.
Some manuals I've read said that it's proportionately in the shape of your head.
All right, I'm giving you a hard time.
It's all right. No, I'm just trying to say that comedy, I don't think it's sort of like saying if you're a, you know, a linebacker. Linebackers are born, you know. You can't, that kind of mentality is born. Same thing with comedy. You can take somebody and say be funny and it's not going to work. You just have to have it. So when did you realize that comic stylings were maybe something that was you know, natural for you?
I was a class clown. I mean, when I was a little kid, you know, of course, when I started acting, I wanted to be like, you know, the doctor, the Negro doctor. Let's ask Dr. Leroy. He's incredibly brilliant, but he came from challenging circumstances. You know, that kind of dude. And I never got those parts. They would laugh, you know, and I'd be like, nurse, scalpel, please. Is Beatrice here? You know, or the lawyer. I wanted to do that dude. But, yeah, that never happened. It's funny, when you talk about comedy, there are comedians who are smart, witty, they're amusing, or they make me chuckle. But then there are other comics that are just naturally funny. You understand?
Right.
They are funny. So there's kind of like two. I know a lot of people who are hardworking. They really write great, structured, intelligent stuff, but they're not inherently funny. So it just depends on what your style is. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to really laugh or just think.
Right.
See, that was a dig, what I just said. It's just a different world now. Like, I remember I was rushing through an airport to catch a connecting flight because my arriving flight was late. I was calling the car service, my manager, to try and arrange the car thing. So I pass a guy and he's like, oh my, David Alan Grant, my mom loves you. And I was like, yeah, okay. So can you call Dingleberries and tell them I'll be, you know? And then when I get on the plane, the dude tweeted, David Alan Grant's a jerk. He didn't, my mom loved him. He just walked by. I'm like, dude, I can't. Man, come on, man.
He ain't buying a ticket to Dingleberries.
Yeah, I know, but I was like, dude, I'm stressed. You see me, man. Come on. But you don't have time. But now everybody has social media in which you can immediately blast.
Well,
before
I said,
you had to write a letter.
You can say your mama 24/7 now. You don't have to do it to somebody's face.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Also, when In Living Color like was on, to complain, you had to pin a letter, mail it to the network.
Mm-hmm.
This is to complain about that sketch last week on In Living Color. Yeah, so it's it's more immediate now. Yeah, people can blast right.
My dad's a fire chief, and he doesn't have a skull face.
Amen. We got, it was funny, like when we do Men On, we got, you know, we got complaints. Sometimes we got complaints.
Wasn't he a tight end? He was. Somebody would bring that up.
Yeah, they would go, I'm offended, you know.
Speaking with David Alan Grier, and you know, it's funny, when I heard you were coming in, and I think about all those great In Living Color sketches, my favorite sketch you ever did was when you were on SNL doing Brian Gumbel. And you're like, we'll be right back with more of today. And you're like, where my Walkman at? And all that. Oh.
I was walking down the street the next day after that, and I think Chuck Scarborough, who is you know, local New York guy, he rolls by in a town car, and he rolls down the window and he says, Brian Gumbel wants to kick your ass. He said, you guys are never going to hang out. And I was like, okay. It was praise and scorn. But I've met Bryant since then, and he's really cool. He's,
I saw the sketch. I know. Hey, I have a sense of humor. Love you. Loved you for years, you know.
And I was like, thanks, Bryant.
You know, something else I wanted to ask you about SNL is that when you were on Kenan and Kel in, what, like 99, and Kenan Thompson's so talented now. He basically runs SNL.
He's leaving.
Oh, he's leaving.
Yeah, I think he's leaving.
Oh, I didn't know that. But could you tell at the time, this kid, you know, he's got it?
No. But what I guess so. I mean, I did the show because I liked those guys, and I liked that they were really little kids, yet they were like Laurel and Hardy, you know, like 12-year-olds, but they had this show. So it was cool. I liked that. And now, you know, we've worked together. He and I did this campaign where we did the Kobe and LeBron puppets. And I ask him about his partner, you know, his former partner, and he has the weary, road-weary showbiz knowledge of a 90-year-old. He goes, well, we were just kids. They put us together. It's like he's talking about vaudeville. I'm like, we weren't true partners. It was a team.
In the Catskills.
Yes, yes. I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah. What was the name of it? It was called
Good Burger.
Good Burger. Right, yeah. Right, right. Yeah. And he goes, they were kids. I mean, but it was, it's mm-hmm. great to see that he's got a life since then, and you know, he's mm-hmm. prosperous. He's
I remember Kel had the voice,
right?
Yeah, which
and
was...
what was the catchphrase? No, there you go. Right there, you know, he did something crazy like that.
David Alan Greer is with us. A couple more minutes. He's at the San Jose Improv tonight through Thursday. And the other day I was changing channels and I saw this documentary that Pauly Shore made about himself, about what he's doing yeah. now. And you know, it's sort of a vanity piece in a way, to say the least. But you were in that movie, In the Army Now, with him and,
yes.
and Andy Dick. And I thought, man, I have to, what's yeah. it like hanging out with... Because I had Ari Shaffir in here. I don't know if you know him. He's at the Comedy Store. He goes, oh, I'll say it on the air. I hate Pauly Shore. He's a miserable human being. But when you were with Pauly and Andy Dick, what was it like hanging out with Andy Dick?
You don't have enough time. But I mean, I knew Pauly. Actually, Pauly and I started comedy together before in Living Color. The Laugh Factory was a club. It's still a club in L.A. But, you know, at the time, it was, I called it the black hole of Calcutta. It was just a storefront. Mm-hmm. Totally blacked out, but you could work out there, you know, and Jamie Masada would give us time and me and Pauly and a couple other people would go up there. So you had the evening to just work through your stuff. And that's what young comics need. So when Pauly came to pitch in the Army Now, it verbatim, the pitch was, hey bro, so like, I want you to do your thingy wingy and I'm going to let you sprinkle. And I was like, yeah, okay, man. Because I was getting a divorce. I'm like, I'll do it. You play a giant penis, I'll do it. So he's like, dude, chill. Let me just do my spiel. So I knew Paul. He said, yeah, he's cool.
And every sentence began with, hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Yeah, the problem, like, Pauly would tell me stories about, like, how Sam Kinison would...
He raised him, right?
Babysit him. He went on the road with Sam. I think he gave me a porno one time, and he was in it. I was like, hey, man, you interrupted my whole thing, dog. So Pauly was cool. Pauly and Andy talking in the morning. I think Andy had a, like, his girlfriend or something. Then he had his male assistant.
Companion.
No, his assistant. Okay. That was the title. Okay. So we're all in the van. We're going to the set. And Pauly's like, dude, so where's your assistant guy sleep? There's only, like, one bed in the room. He goes, we all sleep in the bed together.
Of course.
No, that was the end of it. You know
what I'm saying? As you do.
In the van, there was 17 more minutes to the set. Silence. Nobody said a word.
You know,
nobody said a word.
You remind me, I saw Sam Kinison, loved him, at the Warfield here.
Yeah.
And it was before he died, right before he died, obviously. But he came out with an oxygen tank that he was wheeling behind, and he just was breathing in it. And he stood on the stage for 5 minutes looking at it, breathing, and we were all dying. We were laughing, and that's all he did was just breathe out of it for five minutes. I mean,
Sam Kinison was brilliant. I saw him several times at the Comedy Store. You know, he did In Living Color, mm-hmm. and he had a bit where he said, what would Martin Luther King Jr. say if he came back today, came back to life, and he saw a Mr. T doll? He said, you mean I took a bullet for this? This is why I'm dead?
Yeah, now, on a serious note, you and your family, you did a march in Detroit,
that
did you not?
That is a hard segue, friend.
With Dr. Okay, we're going from Mr. T.
You're still holding the steering wheel. It's like, yeah, we did. We marched with Martin Luther King Jr., mm-hmm. and it was, you know, I was a kid.
Right.
So people were like, what was it like? I mean, we had our Sunday clothes on.
You didn't
on.
Know how iconic the guy was at the
No, it was the Sunday. We had to put, like, church clothes on, and it was hot. Mm. And I was like, I need an ice cream cone.
Yeah.
And my parents were like, shut up. We are making history. So it was, amazing in retrospect. But for a lot of things when you're growing up. I mean, for a long time, I was like, wow, I wish I could have participated in the 60s, but I was too young. Right. And then talking with my family and like, oh, well, there was that time. Oh, there was this, there was that. And I did, but it was on, you know, a child's level. So a lot of things happen when you're a child and you're like, Jesus, who? Well, I know he can walk on water, but can I go play?
You know. Well, my whole childhood was like, when is Watergate going to be over? Because it was on every channel.
Tell me about it. It was all day and night. Yeah. I worked at a gas station. That was my first job. I was the tire man.
Wow.
Wow. I did nothing but flats. And I remember coming in and it was all over everything. And that was back when there was no cable.
Right.
It was
three channels.
Yes. Yeah. And they were just everybody. It was like droning in the background.
So boring.
Again,
and my parents were gripped by it. I'm like, yeah. This is, how can you watch this?
He lied. I was like, what? What are you doing? Yeah, I hated that.
Yeah.
I hated Watergate. I hated
it. It's all about our entertainment. I mean,
heck yeah, man. Back in the day, you only had three stations, baby. Yeah. That was it. Yeah.
Maybe the UHF would just show Popeye cartoons all day.
I liked the original Popeyes. I didn't like the... Right. It was like the I Love Lucy where she came and did the third version where she was post-menopausal grandmother.
Or the Three Stooges of the 60s.
Oh!
Yeah.
That was when Mo had a Three Stooges Mo wig.
Yes,
and he was, you know, he was like, why I order? You know, he's like, why I order?
What? Why I order? Slap yourself.
And yeah, also was... the Curly, though. Best Curly was the original Curly.
Yeah, not Curly Joe.
No, man.
It's like if they throw in Curly, we might think it's him now.
Yeah. It was like Joe. I saw a documentary about Twisted Sister.
Yeah.
Was it Twisted Sister or who had the first metal hit? We're not. No.
That's decent. Oh, and that's Quiet Riot.
Quiet Riot.
Yeah.
And they just listed the band replacement. So literally right now it's this drummer and that's it. He's the only original member, you know.
Mm.
That's what it's like at the end of Three Stooges. It's just nobody. They just had the name. It was not cool.
All right, well, that's a good one to end on since I got the steering wheel right here.
You don't want to tie that into the civil rights movement?
I thought maybe we could start talking about the
Holocaust. I'll tell you one last story. Like, I went to see It's a Mad, 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 Mad World,
love
which is a great movie.
Yeah.
And my brother and I mean, by the crescendo of this movie, we are falling out of our seats, laughing, just going insane. It was like, it's the best movie of all time. How can it get any better? And as if on cue, the fire truck rounds the corner, and it's the Three Stooges. And literally, my bag of popcorn, I threw it in the air and started running up and down the aisle. I was like, oh, it was the best. It was the best. That was the best movie
ever.
That
was great. Think of Jimmy Durante, the big W.
Everybody was in there.
Yeah, everybody. Spencer Dick Shawn in the car. Oh, man.
And Jonathan Winters.
Phil Silvers.
God.
It goes on.
Now, wait, can I speak plainly here?
Yeah.
I did the Bonnie Hunt show, and Jonathan Winters came on to be a guest. And, I just played the guy who is the stage manager behind my podium. And Jonathan Winters comes right over to me, and he says,
I bet you get a lot of pussy.
I was like, you're my hero. And yes, I do.
Jonathan Winters, I heard him interview one time. He said, when anyone calls and they said, is Jonathan there? And I go, no, he's dead. He said, because life is too short to ever answer the phone as yourself.
Hey, man, he's right. Plus, you don't know. You don't know. It is crazy. I dated a girl for 3 years. And every time she called, who is this? Hey, what's up, girl?
It hurts my feelings. It's like you don't know who I am.
Who's this guy?
All right. Hey, man. David Alan Greer. Remember to check him out down in San Jose at the Improv. He's there tonight, Valentine's Day, and he'll be there Sunday as well. Hey, man. Can't thank you enough for coming in.
Thank you.
So, big fan. So,
absolutely.
Hope to see you again down the road, man.
Yes, sir.